not of God, and this is that of Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
If we look to this, to those verses, they may still be puzzling for some of us. We may think, and I think it is wrong thinking this way, that they give us a way to prove ourselves. Actually, there is no single verse in Scripture that tells a believer to test himself if he is a believer. This is a given fact. And if we believe in the Lord Jesus, things are definitely so. There is no question about it. The only question is, did we all believe in the Lord Jesus? After this answer is given, things are settled. Now, when we read this, we may think that John supposes that there can be a situation of a believer who is not very sure about his salvation. And hereby, by loving and feeding the truth, he will know that he is of the truth, that he has the new nature, and shall persuade his heart before the Lord, because his heart would tell him that if you don't do those things, you don't prove to yourself that you are a believer. So by doing these things, he persuades himself and his heart that he is a believer. I don't think that this is the meaning here. Because we see a detail here, we shall persuade our hearts before him. When a believer comes before the Lord, and he is a believer and he comes before the Lord, there's no question whether he is saved or not. The question whether we are saved or not, and it can happen in the life of a true believer, it is only when the Lord is not there. Just go to the Lord, look in his eyes, put your hand in his hand, and the question whether you're saved or not is completely gone. It may come back if you go astray, that's true. But in the presence of the Lord, there's no question whether he receives you or not, whether you belong to him or not. Of course, on the other hand, hereby we shall know that we are of the truth. That implies the new nature. It is a proof of the new nature. Not only that we say this, but it is proven by this fruit of acting in love, practically. Still, I'm thinking about this situation that we have been heard about, we have been reminded about with Peter, and I think this could help us a little bit to grasp maybe what John is saying here, because I think that he is speaking in the light of what happened then in John 21. I think he's thinking about that situation. Actually, Peter had this problem, the very problem that we see in verse 18, let us not love with word nor with tongue, but in deed and in truth. That was Peter's problem. What did he say? He said, Lord, I will lay down my life for you, laying down the life for the Lord. Jesus, that's the proof of the supreme love. And he added, even if all those who quit you go astray, I will not. That was what Peter said. And now what he experienced was that his claims were not at the height of his practical experience and of his life. There was a distance between what he said and what he did. And this is exactly what John is saying here, not with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. And now the Lord says, okay, let us test how much of what you say is true and how much of what you say is not true. He was sure that he belonged to the Lord. He was so sure that when he heard that it is the Lord, he threw himself in the water and went directly to the Lord. There was no doubt about that. But his heart was not at ease with the Lord, because he knew that between what he said and what he did, there was a distance. Now, how will this problem be solved? And then the Lord is asking, I'll try to make it as short as possible. The Lord is asking, do you love me more than these? It is exactly the maximum of what he said, that he loves the Lord more than this. And the word for love there is the deepest love, the highest quality of love, agape. And Peter says, Lord, I am attached to thee. First denial, first question. For Peter it was obvious. Probably the Lord will ask him three times. I think he expected that. People, time ago, they were not stupid, as we are told in school. And where are the bright ones now? They were much brighter than we are. That's obvious. And then the Lord asks him the second time, Peter, do you love me? Not more than the others. Just do you love me? That's less than the first question. And Peter is answering in the same way. I'm attached to thee. Except he longs. Attached to thee. That's the best translation. Like friendly love. And then the third question. And now it's the thunder. Now is the moment when Peter is brought to this conclusion. The Lord is greater than our hearts. Peter, are you attached to me? It is well if I understand this, because the original text is rendering those things in a very nice way, in a very exact way. Are you attached to me? At least that what you said. Do you think it's true? I understand that you cannot say love, agape. You said love, philo. But really, philo is what you have in your heart. And his heart accused Peter. His heart accused Peter not because he was telling him that he is not a believer, but because there was such a gap between what he claimed and what he did. That was the very accusation. And in front of this, when the Lord says, are you attached to me? He can only answer, Lord, you know all things. And that's again interesting, because the two words there are different. You know all things, that means you have the full instinctive knowledge of everything. Either sort. You know instinctively everything. And gnosis, you know, or gnosis, it's similar. You know precisely the fact that I'm attached to thee. He sticks to this very low level, or lower level, but he does not trust himself, he trusts the Lord. And I think that this would help us, because it can be the experience of every one of us, not when we doubt our salvations, that is altogether wrong to do this, but in the moments when we realize that our claims and our behavior are different, there is a gap in between. This, I think, is the sense of the text.
Shows us his grace. I think that is the answer to this question.
easier to say it is in the Bible than it isn't in the Bible. We all know that this verse actually does not exhort believers to test themselves. The sense there is not. And actually it's about the fact that if they were not believers, Paul was not an apostle. The fact that Paul is an apostle is the proof that they are believers.
I heard once from a Christian who had heard from another Christian that doubt was the highest quality in a Christian. Well, I said, what the poor thought, but this can destroy your spiritual life. So we have never asked to doubt anything in our faith. But self-judgment, as in 2 Corinthians, that's one of the things. But
Chinese language, there are two sides. signs, which are identity, which are für welche beiden Wörter?
Crisis.
Yeah. For crisis and for new beginning, it's the same Chinese sign. And this crisis in Peter's life was at the same time an opportunity for a new beginning. And then it is good to know that the Lord is greater than we are, greater than our heart, greater than everything. And that he knew everything also about this particular sin, and that he has borne this sin as well. And cleanseth us from all unrighteousness.
Just a point of language, if I may. Crisis in English means a turning point. A lot of people use it to mean disaster, but a crisis is a turning point. That is why the Chinese interpretation of a new beginning is not so very different. A turning point, a new beginning.
Question of certainty, of assurance of salvation. It is connected with the knowledge of the true nature. Because if you don't know, if you refuse the truth of the true nature, then you cannot understand why you sin again. And then so these things are closely connected. And it is precisely because in the evangelical world the question of the true nature is almost unknown. That's precisely why the uncertainty regarding salvation is well respected.
So we could add a practical point to this. Again, I'm talking on a doctrinal basis on health, what we said is true. But the question also has a pastoral side, so we should mention, because there are believers that have doubts. And it's not very helpful just to tell them that from the devil, but they need some help in getting strengthened. Sometimes it has to do with kind of weakness, bodily weakness. We heard about older people having doubts.
new nature is giving its way and doing the things pleasing to God, and that is the substrate, as it were, for our holiness to God, that we bring open our hearts and bring all our prayers and our demands before Him, and know that He will hear them.
Seems to me that we very often begin at the wrong end. We start with what we need and we pray for that. But here actually it shows us how our condition should be. We see that this is first the fruit of that self-judgment, and the second is obedience and doing righteousness, doing that what is right. Try to begin with that, qualify that, somehow automatically our prayers are, they will be answered. But we usually begin at with our prayers, and we have problems, or we have wishes, and then they are not always answered because it doesn't correspond then with conditions.
after 3 years, then all of a sudden it dwindled down and then you stop praying. Well, prayer is a very special subject, and we see that endurance is one of the recipes, one of the qualities which the Lord desires in us. So let us endure in prayer as it is, as we are sometimes exalted in Scripture. That's the one side. The other side, which is entirely out of our influence, zero influence, is the responsibility of the one we pray for. God does not turn people around like figures in a play of chickens. Everybody is responsible. God wants or desires that they are confessed, and that they return. There's no doubt about it. You can let me speak. Say no. This is a thing which is very difficult to understand because on the other hand, it is the spirit who works in the soul of somebody who is not happy to be comforted, to be born again. So the responsibility of the subject of the prayer is also to be taken into account. This and our own endurance, perhaps there are more reasons. Although everybody would say they are good prayers, and not self.
always hurt him. And these are the two things that go together here.
In this verse that we have before us, we don't have the practical viewpoint, we have the principle. If we look in John chapter 15, read from the Authorized Version because it's in front of me, we see this promise in verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. There we see two conditions qualify the promise. One, if ye abide in me. That is a life that is occupied, a heart that is occupied with Christ. And the second part of the promise, my words abide in you. That is a life that's regulated by the scriptures. In our passage, we see that. Turn to it again. We see that there are similar thoughts coming out in whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. That his commandments will occupy us with Christ. That will come out in the next verse. Don't want to jump ahead. Do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That is a life that is in perfect subjection to his will. These are the principles behind prayer. Now, things we've been talking about are practical things. And we have to look to other portions of Scripture to receive answers on those things. But here we have the basic principle.
You can also look at chapter 14 in John's Gospel. Verse 13. There we have the objective of the prayer. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in his Son. Here we have the objective, and then just before we have in my name, and again in verse 14. Are we putting our requests, are the requests that we are putting those that the Lord himself would ask of his Father?
Thank you. something in the name of the God, it's the same thing as if we have a plague on the assembly, or how many people are assembled in the name of the Lord. It is a practical thing also. That is very important, that we do things in accordance with His person. But then, in these three cases, it is said that the prayers will be fulfilled. And it shows that it is a very important step. And on the other hand,
there is perhaps something that ought to be just added, without taking away anything that's been said so far. The reason that the Apostle Paul's prayer three times, the reason it was not answered, was that so that he could prove the grace of God. The answer was given to him on that occasion: "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, we cannot know the reason that Paul's prayer was not answered in the way that he had expected. It was answered, but not in that way. But Paul was enabled, by enduring that thorn in the flesh, perhaps to prove the grace of God towards himself and his circumstances in a way that he might not otherwise have done. The other point perhaps to add is that in the scripture in 1 John 5, it's already been referred to again, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Then the next verse says, we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. If we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we may have the petitions that we desired of him. I think that introduces the time factor. If we utter a prayer that's according to God's will, he will hear us. But his time and our time may differ.